Hendrick, who finished third in the Camping World Truck Series standings in 2017 for now-defunct Brad Keselowski Racing. He and teammate Chase Briscoe, along with Ty Majeski, will be a part of a three-driver effort in the Xfinity Series for Roush Fenway Racing in 2018.
Chase and I will work better on the same car. Chase is incredibly competitive, but to be able to have a threesome like me, Chase, and Ty with varying experiences, we'll be able to lean on each other quite a bit.
Elsewhere, Joey Logano and his wife Brittany gave birth to their son last night, Hudson Logano. There's more at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids Studio A. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe. 2 hours in the books. One more to go as we take you up to 7 o'clock here on KGYM Radio, the local programming. Hour number two of our podcast is available at our website, kgymradio.com, as is our number one, and the gym class from earlier today where they caught up with ESPN golf writer Bob Herrick. Alex Kuhn, Rob Howe, Kyle Mann, our producer, and it's now time for the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Really excited about this. Thank you, Rob, for lining Josh up. Josh Jackson, the former Iowa, feels so weird to say that, former Iowa quarterback and unanimous All-American, an NFL draft prospect, joining us on the phone right now. Josh, how's your Friday?
It's going really good, man. I just finished up some training and, you know, I'm back home just hanging out.
Just, I have to ask you this. Coming into the year, we had seen you a little bit in some sub-package situations. We had seen you a little bit stepping in at corner for Greg and Desmond. Did you even imagine this type of year was going to happen, where you were going to go from playing in sub-package situations to a unanimous All-American and a potential first-round draft pick? What has this year been like for you?
You know, it's been really, you know, amazing.
Did we lose Josh? Josh, you got us? Well, we'll try to get reconnected with him in just a second.
He's a man of few words, but I figured he had more words than that.
Yeah, I figured he had more words than it, and he was continuing. So we're going to try to get him back on the air, see if he's still with us. We'll reset the question as you're listening to KGYM Radio, the Big Hour. Like I said, it feels so weird to say former Iowa cornerback.
Yes.
I feel like we just got to know him, and now
he's gone.
And now he's heading back out. And Josh, we lost you there for a second, but we'll reset the question. What has this last year been like for you?
You know, it's been really amazing, and it's really, you know, a great opportunity for me to, you know, come into this year and, you know, set high goals after the Outback Bowl and just really, you know, attain them, because, you know, I set the goals, but, you know, to attain them is a whole different, you know, beast itself. And, you know, just looking back on the year, I'm just really happy the way it went.
Josh, at what point did the NFL become a possibility for you during the season? Was there a time when maybe NFL people reached out to your family or your coaches?
Yeah, well, you know, I think after the Ohio State game, you know, a lot of people were starting to mention it to me and, you know, just telling me the, you know, type of impact that I made across the nation. And, you know, that's really when things kind of started blowing up. And then the next week at Wisconsin, you know, I did similar things. And, you know, it really kind of, you know, came to life at that point.
When you made this decision, did you chat with any former teammates, or was it just kind of an internal family decision as to whether you were going to turn pro or come back for your senior season?
Yeah, it was definitely a, you know, internal family decision. And, you know, I talked to a couple, you know, former players and things like that. But it mainly came from me and my family. And, you know, we sat down, we weighed out the pros and the cons, and, you know, we just felt the, you know, the odds were, you know, good enough to go. And, you know, we prayed and things like that. And, you know, we just, you know, took our chance and, you know, now interested in the draft. So
there are so many mock drafts out there, and you've got, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay and guys like that projecting where you're going to go. But you guys go off more internal information that you're able to get from the NFL, and obviously Coach Ferentz and his ties to the NFL helps. What have you been told from NFL people that led you to think, okay, this is my time?
Well, we sit in a NFL draft advisory, and all the results came back pretty positive. I seen some comments as far as first rounds, and actually a couple comments saying first round, and that's kind of how I made my decision and what really gave me a guaranteed decision.
What will these next 3 months look like for you? I'm sure you're gonna work out. You hired an agent yet? What will this next 3 months look like for you leading up to the draft in April?
It's really exciting. I've started working out and doing some things now, and I'm back in Texas with my family, and so I'm working out here. And I signed with Vayner Sports. My agent is Tommy Sims. And they're a really good agency and things like that. And so I'll be working out here for about 8 weeks. And then after that, I'll head up to the combine and, hope to do good in that. And then after that, I'll have a little break and, come back. And then it'll be time for, the draft. And that's actually in Dallas, Texas, which is really, exciting for me and very close to home. And I'm sure all my family will be happy and, be close to the area. So, it's going to be a crazy and hectic next 3 months, so I'm really looking forward to it.
With so much focus and the reputation of how good Texas high school football is, and it is, obviously you played it and how did you slip through the cracks? How were you a two-star, and how did you slip through the recruiting cracks, do you feel?
Well, a lot of hard work and dedication, I think, is the main formula that I kind of lived by, and just trying to perfect my craft every day and not be complacent, and just keep working. Really, that's the main thing, and just never quit giving up on your dreams. So this is a big dream of mine since I started playing football. And as you fail and come back and try again, you start to see success. And after a while, the door opened for me, and I just wanted to run at it full speed and take full advantage of it. And God blessed me with the opportunities, and, the season turned out the way it did.
You mentioned the combine and wanting to do well there, and we were chatting just a little bit earlier, a little off the air as well. It seems like that would play to your strengths, your length, your athleticism, your speed, your strength. All those things are something you have. Of course, you're going to have to prepare for it and work out with a trainer for it the next few months. But do you kind of feel that same way, that that's an opportunity for you to shine and even boost your stock even more?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some of the drills that they do as far as running, jumping, and some of the back drills that they do, and I think I'm really prepared for it, and I think it will be a surprise to a lot of scouts to see what I do, and I'm really excited to go out there and just give them all.
We had CJ Beathard on the show earlier this season, and I had asked him about you because I know you probably faced him a lot in practice, and he was just gushing over your athletic ability, and he was particularly impressed with your jumping ability. What is your vertical leap? How high can you get up?
Well, the highest I got so far is a 42.5. 42 inches, yeah.
And what type of 40?
Well, that was on a jump pad, and I jumped a 40 on just a regular, okay, where you jump up and hit the – the things, I'm not sure what it's called, but it's the combine vertical jump.
I know you'll be able to answer this a lot better when you're in camp and you go through your first training camp and your first season, but how do you think the Iowa program is going to help you, as opposed to some other programs, preparing you for the NFL, or has it already?
Yeah, definitely. Just other players from different colleges and universities, and their strength conditioning staff, just compared to ours, I can see a big difference in just the way we're built and the way we come out and prepare, each and every day, and just the way we work,
Do we lose Josh again?
You there, Josh?
Looks like we lost him. We'll try to get him hooked up one more time. As we're having a little bit of phone issues here at KGWM at 6:15, BM, Rob, you're somewhat new, but this is not a new thing. I don't know if you've
well,
noticed.
We went through the weather, you and I, that one time this year.
I wanted to bring that up because we've been on the air one time, and there was tornadic weather in the area, so two-thirds of that time we were playing meteorologists. We're not meteorologists, but no. We played one on the radio that day.
Yes.
So at least this time we can get through most of a full program without without any weather issues, but we'll try to get Josh back on the phone one more time, and hopefully the third time is the charm, as I think we have Josh back, as we'll reset the question about how Iowa helps prepare you for the NFL. Josh, sorry about this.
Josh, was it bittersweet, the decision to go? Because I know how much you loved your teammates and loved the Iowa program. Was that the hardest part of this whole thing?
Yeah, I love each and every one of my teammates. And just being able to, you know, play and go through the tough times, you know, the training and everything. And, you know, just all that we've been through, you know, that was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make. And, you know, but it comes to a point in time where, you know, I talked to my teammates. They all understood what I was going through. And you know, they're very supportive. And, you know, I'm just very thankful for that.
You mentioned the Ohio State game, and there were several memorable moments from that game. Your one-handed interception comes to mind. Is there a moment or two that will stick out to you 10, 20 years in the future as to the most memorable of this past season?
Yes, I think the main thing for me was just the chemistry that, you know, the defense and the offense had throughout the game, just the way we fed off each other. I think that was the most impressive thing for me.
Josh, I know you had mentioned to us that you were going to graduate in May. Are you going to stay in school this semester, or are you going to focus on the NFL draft and then go back for your degree at a later time?
Yeah, you know, that's still like you know, decision that I'm still working out with my advisor right now, and you know, what's best to do, and you know, how we can accomplish those, you know, next couple of credits in order to finish my degree. But you know, it's definitely still a, you know, working decision.
All right, so you're old news now, Josh. You're not on the team anymore. So people want to know, who is the next Josh Jackson, or who is going to fill in at your position? Give us the scouting report on some of these guys that are coming back next year at the cornerback position.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it's tough to say because they're all really good. They're all very talented guys, and they all work really hard and they're all smart. So, you know, I think that it's kind of up in the air for who's going to start next year. But, you know, all of them can play, and all of them are really good. And, you know, I've played with every corner, and the young guys that are the freshmen that are coming in are also going to be really good. So, you know, hopefully those guys can just go in and, you know, just try to be their own player, not, you know, imitate me, but just, you know, play to the best of their abilities.
With those young guys, you always hear about the development that they make from their freshman to their sophomore to their junior year. For you, when you came in as a freshman till the time that you left a couple of weeks ago, what area of your game was developed or improved the most, do you feel?
Well, I think just, you know, getting reps on the field. In order to develop, you have to get reps and things like that. And my freshman year, I didn't have too many reps. I played a little bit on third downs, and same as my sophomore year. But, you know, just as I started progressing and getting reps through spring ball and camp, and I really started to get comfortable and, you know, just have a knack for what the game was like. And just, you know, throughout my whole season, just building the reps, I really started to feel comfortable, and, you know, I was able to play confident and play fast.
As you know, James Daniels also declared today, so two juniors from Iowa are coming out. Did you guys talk about that at all? Were you surprised that, or did you know that he was going to come out as well? Did you guys compare notes and kind of talk about this, go through it together?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I wasn't completely sure if James was coming out. You know, it was kind of a decision. I didn't want to bother him too much, but we definitely did, you know, kind of talk about it and, you know, what our grades were, and, you know, if we think it was right to come out, and, you know, but, you know, we both made the decision to come out, and, you know, I think we're pretty happy with that, and I think we're just ready to get to work.
Josie Jewell didn't have a decision to make as to whether he was coming out. He graduated this year, but I think an NFL team could get him on day number two or day number three. For an NFL team, what type of teammate are they getting in Josie Jewell?
You know, a great teammate, a great player. You know, Josie really is a great guy on and off the field, and is really a great example for what, you know, a leader is. And, you know, just me coming up, you know, in my career, Josie was a guy I kind of looked up to and looked and tried to, you know, model my work ethic behind, just because he does everything. He's going to give us all each and every time he's out. You know, I just
Josh, you play a position where guys like to talk, talk trash. You're not that way, though. Is it, you know, is it, do you hold yourself back, or is it just natural for you when receivers start yapping that you don't get involved with it? Or, and do you, does it help you to not get caught up in that so you're able to focus on what you want to do? I was afraid of that.
No, it's just not about playing in the game. It's about playing in your own game. Just playing your game, really. So they're going to talk, and it doesn't affect me, really. But I'm just going to play my game and just stay focused on my assignments. And, you know, they're talking doesn't faze me.
Now, Josh, I want to go back a few weeks to the college football playoff award, or excuse me, the college football awards, where you were up for the Jim Thorpe Award. Minka Fitzpatrick won the award, but there's no shame in being a finalist. What was that experience like for you going down to Orlando, being next to Deshaun Elliott and Minka Fitzpatrick and some of the best football players in the country?
Yeah, it was really a great experience just to be around those players and, you know, meet them and, you know, just kind of be on the same pedestal as, you know, as everybody was. So it was a really cool experience, and I made a lot of friends out there, and I think everybody was really, you know, just genuine.
Who was the toughest receiver you went against this year?
I think the guy from Minnesota, number 6, he was a really good receiver. And probably Butler from Iowa State.
Well, Josh Jackson, the unanimous All-American and former Iowa Hawkeye, joining us in the Big Hour on KGYM Radio. Josh, thank you so much for joining us and bearing with us, and best of luck. And I have a feeling we're going to be hearing your name called very early in April's draft. Thanks a lot.
Thank you guys so much.
That's Josh Jackson, a very good football player and a very good young man as he heads to the next level. We said this off the air, and I think a lot of people have drawn this conclusion at this point, Rob, but Desmond King was a very good football player, and Desmond King is a very good football player in the NFL. The things that held him back, the size, the speed, the measurables. He had all the intangibles. There's no question about that. Those things are not going to hold Josh Jackson back as far as evaluation in the NFL.
No, he's got the film, which Desmond had, but then he's also got, as you said, the measurables. He talked about the 40-inch vertical leap. I'm guessing the 40's under 4.5. He's tall. He's long. And he has good technique. Great hips. And he studies film really well. And I think a big part for NFL teams, especially when they're going to spend a first-round pick and that much money, they want to know that it's a good kid coming from a good program. So he's got that going for him, too.
And you brought up a question. He was too humble to answer it truthfully, but to fully answer it. You asked him, how does a guy like that slip through the cracks? And we had this discussion earlier with Megan Gustafson. She didn't slip through the cracks, but 6'1", sub 4.5 40, 42-inch vertical leap from Texas, 2-star recruit. Something just didn't add up there.
It was New Mexico State and Colorado State maybe were his other offers, if memory serves me correctly. And I remember when doing the recruiting stories on him and then talking to the coaches after he signed, there was a bit of a battle between the offensive and defensive coaches, whether he
that
would play
sense.
Receiver or defense. And I think maybe that was what some schools weren't sure what he was going to be. But to Iowa's credit, and they do this often, they envisioned what he could be. And to his credit, he worked hard to become that.
I was talking about James Daniels a little bit earlier, and we'll continue on the Big Hour chatting a little football, talking a little bit more about Iowa basketball. No, we're not stalling. We're to avoid talking about it. I promise. But the thing I said about James Daniels is scouts will flip on the tape and see how these guys did against top-level competition. He had every game he was very good, but the two that stand out, Ohio State, Wisconsin. That has to be a big boost.
Yeah, I think, for as you said, for both of those guys. And Josh, his ability to break on the ball is just so it's special. It really is. He's got a lot of natural. And I was taken aback a little bit, not that I didn't think he was good, but we talked to CJ before that burst where he went through the Ohio State-Wisconsin game and kind of came on the national scene, and CJ was really complimentary, and that kind of caught my attention. I was like, wow, he was able to see this in practice going against Josh on the scout team and things like that, that there had to be something there. So you don't hear many people saying, you know, this is this kid's weakness, because he doesn't have many.
And that's the most amazing part. When we talk about cornerbacks, and when you see cornerbacks being drafted high, almost all of them have weaknesses. Yeah. Almost all of them are somewhat raw. You see a lot of really good athletes, some guys who can cheat a little bit, jumping routes. Janoris Jenkins a couple years ago out of Florida, not the biggest guy, not the best technique, but he was a risk taker, and he gets a lot of interceptions because of it. Some guys drafted in the first round last year, Malik Hooker. Yeah. You very rarely see a guy at that position who is a shutdown corner. How you can count on one hand how many there are in the NFL, and some of them are getting old at this point. Darrell Revis is no longer a shutdown corner. He was. Richard Sherman is hurt a lot. Patrick Peterson isn't necessarily a shutdown corner. Josh Norman kind of falls in that category. There aren't many of them, and maybe he won't be a quote-unquote shutdown corner at the next level, but he was at this level.
And I think, and I agree with you, and I think you can throw in there, and this was true of Desmond King too, very fundamentally sound tackler that is not That's afraid huge. To play physical. He's a physical player in addition to having that skill set that you can't teach, the length, the speed, the ability to change directions. He is a complete package, and the more that we talk about it, Alex, I'm really excited to see what he does at the next level.
I think the guys that you're going to see drafted in that first round at that cornerback position, it could be very similar to what we saw as far as how the Jim Thorpe Award played out. Micah Fitzpatrick from Alabama will be drafted high, and Josh Jackson, I think, once he tests well, which I believe he will, once the tape is kind of uncovered, he's going to continue to move up. So thanks to him for joining us here on the program. 627. What we'll do right now, we'll step aside, we're going to come back, and we're going to have Kyle give us a big board update and give you the final 27 minutes of the afternoon program. You're listening to KGYM Radio. More on the way after this.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one. The Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Stock up and save this week during Menards Winter Sale. Sheet vinyl flooring from IVC and Mohawk is durable, waterproof, and easy to install. The Strike Collection by Mohawk is 74 cents a square foot. The Impact Collection by IVC has a 15-year warranty, 99 cents a square foot. Save now on a great selection of vinyl flooring and many other great deals now through January 6th during Menards Winter Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to Studio A. Alex Kuhn, Rob Howe, and Kyle Mann joining us in the studio. The final 25 minutes of our final show of the first week of January. January the 5th, we'll be back with you on Monday right here in Studio A. Hopefully Todd Brommelkamp is over whatever is ailing him. A little bit under the weather today, which I think we all are, and getting a nice day of rest to recuperate. What we're going to do right now is we're going to send it over to Kyle Mann, who has another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's junior offensive lineman James Daniels announced this morning that he would join Josh Jackson in leaving school a year early to enter the NFL draft. Daniels checks in at 6'4" and 295 pounds at only 20 years old, and with great athleticism for an interior lineman, Mel Kiper Jr. has him as the third best draft-eligible center. The Iowa men lost to Ohio State last night to fall to 9-7 and 0-4 in the Big Ten by a final score of 92-81. The Hawkeyes allowed the Buckeyes to shoot over 50% from the floor over the course of the game, which falls in line with some of the team's struggles so far this season. They're yielding a Big Ten worst 74 points per game and allowing the 10th worst field goal percentage at 42.9%, and also find themselves 13th in the 14-team league in turnover margin. Carver Hawkeye Arena is going to need some excitement from somewhere, and it's going to have plenty tonight as the Iowa wrestling team hosts Michigan State beginning at 7 o'clock. There's a buzz around the program as the Hawkeyes will be taking the red shirt off of true freshman and top overall recruit from a year ago, 125-pounder Spencer Lee. Keeping an eye on Hawkeyes in the pros, former Iowa defensive back Micah Hyde was named as a second-team All-Pro selection today. In his first year with the Bills, he finished with a career-high 82 tackles and tied for third in the league with 5 interceptions. Tonight after the show, we're stocked with high school basketball. Beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Kennedy boys at Linmar on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have the girls from Central DeWitt traveling to Clear Creek Amana, also at 7:30 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Micah Hyde, Rob, did you think that he could have this kind of NFL career? I knew he was a very solid player, and there was some question as to what position he was going to play at the next level, but he is having a career year in Buffalo.
And he tested well. He kind of, in the group of cornerbacks that have gone from Iowa, from Bradley Fletcher and Maurice Bavay, and they've done a pretty good job producing players at that position. And I think there are some more guys potentially in the pipeline. But Micah Hyde has certainly overcome his, or risen above where his draft status was.
Team trying to rise above where their current status is, the Iowa basketball team. And we are going to chat more about that after we take a quick break, as well as continuing to discuss the impact that the departures of Josh Jackson, James Daniels, and Tyler Wiggers will have on the football program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll step aside. We're going to come back. More of the Big Hour on KGYM Radio after this.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
How is it that Pennzoil in your engine makes you feel this? Or how this takes your mind to this? It's because to us, performance is more than just a word. It's the ultimate goal. And whether you do it yourself or you get your oil changed at a shop, Pennzoil synthetics give you complete protection for top engine performance. Make the switch today.
There it is, the brand spanking new Holy Mother of Awesome 4K Ultra HD TV. With a gazillion pixels of super crisp resolution, you can see it in your living room. And then you see the price. Your hopes are officially dashed. Don't let those big box retailers give you static. Swing by Rent-A-Center or go to rentacenter.com and get the big brands you want for small payments you can afford. All without credit. Rent-A-Center. Big brands. Small payments. Rental purchase transactions. See store for details.
6:34, welcome back to KGYM Radio. Just about 20 minutes to play with here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 319-366-1600 is our phone number and our text line. We appreciate hearing from all of you today. A lot of fans upset about the 0-4 start to Big Ten play for the Iowa men's basketball team. And that's what we're going to get into right now as the Big Hour continues, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob, there's been a lot of discussion about the roster makeup of this team, the departure of Christian Williams early in this season. Are there too many cooks in the kitchen in the front court? Is there not enough time to go around for all of those guys? And the sheer lack of scoring from anybody else in the backcourt other than Jordan Bohannon. I want to get into the Christian Williams thing for just a little bit, because a lot of people kind of shrugged that off. He left about a couple of days before the season was supposed to start. It's pretty clear that is a big loss for not only this roster, but just for the team makeup in general.
Yeah, and it was a peculiar time for that to happen, as you said, right as the season was about to start. Christian was very well liked by his teammates. I remember talking to Jordan Bohannon, it was a day or two after the transfer of Christian Williams was announced, and Jordan, you could tell, was visibly upset, was a good friend of his and somebody he felt, and others on the team felt, was a key piece to the puzzle. And he wasn't going to be a superstar, but he was a key role player, that this team, you know, desperately misses right now. And that, you know, his exit at the time that it came, and Fran said he was surprised by it too, I think probably affected chemistry to some degree. And then when you think that they can fall back on Connor McCaffrey being the point guard, and then he hurts his ankle, then gets mono, that snowballed at that backup position. So now you've got Brady Ellingson playing out of position. You're trying to make Macy Daly into a point guard. Let's face it, Jordan Bohannon isn't your true typical point guard. He's a guy that could probably benefit being off the ball more. Those are all things that Christian Williams could have helped this team do, and he's not here anymore. And I'm not saying that would be the cure-all for all the problems on this team, but he certainly would help on the defensive end of the floor.
And that's been a huge issue all season long. And you look to see how many times they've given up less than 70 points in a game. 2 times this year. Opening night against Chicago State, and then that Sunday against Alabama State. This is a team that's struggling defensively. Offensively, at times they look disconnected. And we've said it before, when they look disconnected offensively, they don't get enough stops in a row to be able to withstand the run that the team makes, the opposing team makes game in and game out.
I thought it was interesting last night, Alex, in talking to Chris Holtmann, the new coach at Ohio State, formerly from Butler, and Gardner Webb. Fran had talked about, you know, how can you make up for maybe some physical deficiencies on defense? And Fran, to this point, has tried to switch defenses, go from man-to-man to zone, three-quarter court pressure, full court pressure, trying to mix those up. Chris Holtmann said last night that the reason that he felt they were able to win was their ability to adjust to each defense that Iowa was doing, and then Iowa's inability to execute those defenses. And I wonder, and I wrote about this for today after last night's game, if it wouldn't be more prudent, and we talked about this earlier in the show, to maybe stick to one defense. I think zone is a good idea with the deficiencies and being able to play on the ball defense. Stick with one defense and try to perfect it as best as you can. Maybe that's the way to go. And another thing, maybe shorten the rotation a little bit. Maybe playing so many guys aren't coming together. There are so many different combinations on the floor that maybe that's hurting that connectivity, as you talked about.
I think that is a definite possibility. The interesting topic that I feel like I get a different opinion every time I bring Nicholas Bear's name up. I'm kind of struggling to figure out the role of Nicholas Bear. I think we've kind of been waiting to see if he was going to be a guy that contributed more offensively, that was more of a staple, not necessarily in the starting lineup, but kind of be more than that spark off the bench. Some people, like yesterday we chatted with Chad Lysico, thinks that he needs to have a more prominent role. We chatted with Scott Docterman the other day. He said he's fine. He's just that kind of spark off the bench. Where do you fall on that, Rob?
I think, and Fran mentioned this last night with Nicholas, he plays so hard when he's in there that he gets winded quickly. That stamina has been kind of an obstacle or a hurdle for him, if you will, throughout his career. And he's tried to, it's not like he's in bad condition. He just plays so hard, and that's his game, that he gets winded and Fran has to take him out because he's so ineffective when he gets tired. That's why I think he probably would be better off the bench. But then you take, he's one of the few leaders you have on this team. You're taking him off the floor early in that game, and you're dealing with a team that's starting slowly anyway. Would it be even worse if he's not out there? It's hard to say, but I think ideally a lineup that I would like to see right now, but I don't think he can do it, is Bohannon, Daly, Moss. Have three perimeter guys out there, but then you only have Ellingson coming off the bench as your other guard. That, again, we go back to the Christian Williams and Connor McCaffrey not being available. That affects this team and maybe not being able to match up with teams like Ohio State and Michigan, who are guard-oriented. You go big, and they take advantage of that.
Maishi Daly, I'm glad you brought him up, because he's a guy that I think a lot of people are intrigued with his ability. 6'7", can step out on the wing, shoot the ball a little bit. And now he's kind of being thrown into the fire, if you will, learning on the fly how to play point guard. What do you think about that? For a young player like this, who is still very raw, I think that there's no question about that. Still learning, still developing. Is there any worry there's some kind of overload with him where he's trying to learn his way on the wing, and then now all of a sudden playing a position in point guard that not necessarily all that comfortable at?
Yeah, I guess time will tell to see how he takes to the position. He did play some of it in high school in Cleveland and with his AAU team. He's more comfortable, I think. I think you would consider him a combo guard, which usually means that they're better off the ball. And I think he's better off the ball. But his confidence is getting better as he becomes a better offensive force, which I think that's happening as you know, the season unfolds. That will open up things for him to be able to find other, you know, find teammates with passing the ball. He handles the ball pretty well. It's just not ideal, Alex, and we've talked about the point guard situation on this team. It's just not an ideal situation with everything that's happened to this point with Christian and then Connor getting hurt and sick. But they have to find out. They have to find. They can't make trades. They can't trade a big man for a point guard. Maybe with Drake or something like that, who needs big guys. So they're going to have to find ways to patch this thing together and be able to be productive.
I want to talk about the two freshmen right now, because that's another one where you talk about too many cooks in the kitchen. You're wondering how minutes are going to get distributed. I feel like it was just about 2 weeks ago when we were chatting about how Luka Garza was struggling. Jack Nungi looked like he was kind of pulling ahead for playing time. He was making some shots. He was taking to the game a little bit better. His confidence was rising. And then all of a sudden, the other night against Michigan, he plays a couple of minutes early, gets taken out, and Fran says it's because he lost his confidence after a couple of early shots. Luka Garza, while not necessarily super consistent, has become one of the go-to guys as far as post players go, and he seems like his confidence is building. What do you do with those two guys, especially Jack Nungi? This team needs somebody that can shoot the three. He's shown the ability to do that. I know it's a delicate thing that you're balancing with his confidence and his on-court production, but how do you build confidence without getting reps on the court?
And you're right, it's been a roller coaster. One guy's been up when the other guy's down. It'd be nice if you had both of them going well at the same time. I would like to see what that looks like. Jack is a guy, much like Jared Uthoff, who gets down on himself and carries one bad play to the next play. And that's hard to do and be consistent when you do that, because then you're in your own head and you start, you know, the mistakes start to snowball. He missed a couple threes last night, you know, some open looks, and I felt like he got down on himself. The thing with Luka is Luka plays his butt off whenever he's out there. He's an energy guy, and I think kind of like Bear, that's infectious. So even when he's not maybe being as effective with his game, he's still hustling and making plays in that regard. Jack needs to find that. Jack needs to find that motor to go all the time, even when things aren't going well. Luka's able to shake off bad plays. Jack hasn't been able to do that at this point. It's all part of the growing process.
Are we going to continue to see double teams on Tyler Cook denying entry into the post? Because it seems like that's exactly what's been what the game plan has been for opposing teams. That and make Jordan Bohannon earn his way down the court, make him handle the basketball, and kind of take shots away from him, deny him the ball, and it's really worked out at times for opposing teams.
It seems like, Alex, opposing teams are saying, okay, Isaiah Moss.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can be that third guy. And we talked about Nunji's inconsistency. Isaiah's been inconsistent, and that's been disappointing. And I'm not putting it on his lap, but he needs to be that guy. When the defense is focusing on double teaming Cook and taking away Bohannon's outside shot, Moss, we've seen it. He's able to create off the dribble. He needs to be able to do that. They don't have a point guard that creates enough off the dribble. That's not Bohannon's game. Moss needs to be that guy. And if he can't do it, Daly's got to be that guy. One of those guys has to be able to create.
And we talk about the future a little bit. And I hit on this a little bit earlier, but it seems to me, and this is a lot to put on a freshman, and I don't want to do that, but Joe Wieskamp out of Muscatine seems to be that type of guy where he can play on the wing and shoot. Does he almost feel like somewhat of a missing piece? And like I said, very difficult, and I'm not going to put a huge amount of expectations on a freshman next year. He just seems to be a little bit above the maturity level of your average senior in high school.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 50 national recruit.
Yeah.
And they don't come around here all that often. And a lot will be expected of him, and he will be able to help the lack of depth. Hopefully Connor gets healthy and is able to come back next year. I think we've probably seen the last of Connor this year. He's just not recovering quickly enough, and it's probably prudent to redshirt him. But Wieskamp obviously fills in a need of having another perimeter player to add to the mix. Like we talked about, if you want to play a Bohannon, Daly, and Moss, or a Bohannon, Daly, and Wieskamp, that you mix and match with those guys, he gives you the ability to do that, which they don't have the ability to do that now.
We just have a few more minutes before we have to take our final break of the day. Really quickly, Rob, we chatted about it earlier. We talked with Josh Jackson. We talked about James Daniels deciding that he is going to declare for the NFL draft. Tyler Wiegers is going to be a graduate transfer to Eastern Michigan, where he's going to get a chance to start for the first time in his career. How do these three departures affect the outlook of the 2018 roster?
Yeah, and I touched on this in the Love It or Leave It, that I'm happy for these guys that they're able to do what they want to do, whether it be the two guys going to the NFL or Tyler Wiegers, who's put in a lot of work and been a contributing member of the program, to get a chance to play. But in a developmental program like Iowa, these hurt. But that's what they have to become, because this is more going to become more of the norm in the college football landscape, whether you have graduate transfers or guys leaving earlier for the NFL. You have to be able to reload. And that's harder to do in a developmental program. But you would think, with the history Iowa has on the offensive line, they would be able to put five guys together there that are productive, and that some of those guys got experience this year. And then at cornerback, I mean, you have Ojemudia, who has experience. You have Manny Rugamba, who many thought would be the replacement for Desmond King this year, with experience. And then Matt Haken's got experience late in the year. So those guys need to step up, but that's going to be the norm now.
You're not going to be able to bring in another Josh Jackson or you can't, you certainly can't count on bringing in another Josh Jackson. Those type of players only come around once every 15, 20. Can you think of somebody that has had that type of production in this football program? I mean, the type of year that he had this year, where you're thinking he is legitimately a shutdown cornerback and one of the top shutdown cornerbacks in the country, those are few and far between for any program. So those guys, like you said, Michael Ojemudia, Manny Rigumba, much maligned at times this year, maybe took a little bit of a learning year, a step back this year. Those guys have to step up and fill the void of losing one of the top two or three corners in college football.
Yeah, Manny started the season suspended, then he got hurt. Then he was hurt in the middle of the season. He just never got his feet under him. And then he and Ojemudia, unfortunately, in that Purdue game, were the targets of what the Boilermakers tried to do and what they were able to do in winning that game. I don't know, Alex, that we'll see a Josh Jackson, you know, emergence on this team. I mean, that would be great. It's just that it's just not normal. But I could see something like a Cole Fisher a few years ago, who didn't start until his senior year. And was a starting linebacker on the 2015 team and a big part of that. Go a little bit farther back, Bradley Fletcher didn't start till he was a senior. Then he went to the NFL. That's the kind of development underneath. You can't have attrition. You can't lose guys, you know, to transfers and things like that. You're going to have the attrition to the NFL and graduate transfers, but you have to develop guys behind. And hopefully you look at a guy like Aaron Menz. Maybe he can do what Cole Fisher did, or a Mamani Jones, or guys like that at that linebacker position that have learned here and are ready to emerge now.
How important is that for a program like Iowa? Because I remember my first year here, after the Tax Slayer Bowl loss, they lost Brandon Scherff. They lost Andrew Dinal offensively. They lost some big-time players on defense. Yet, guys like Cole Fisher, guys like Josie Jewell came out of nowhere. So many of those guys stepped up, and they went 12-0 that next year when there were rumblings about whether that team was gonna go 6-6. It seems to happen every single year, and it seems like those guys carry this program year in and year out.
Yeah, they do a good job of finding the next man in, and that's the key. When you look at those down years, 2012, the Tax Slayer Bowl, the 2014 season, guys don't emerge. And that's what you have to hope for in a program like this, that guys will emerge, that the punting aspect of the game figures itself out.
It has to get better.
And those little things that Iowa needs to do to be successful have to come together, because you can't have another season of the punting that happened this year. You just can't.
I definitely agree. We're going to step aside. We're going to take our final break of the day. We're going to come back, and Kyle will give you the final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. More to come after this.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No. Not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke. 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Final couple minutes of our local programming for the week on KGYM. You're listening on all three frequencies, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. One final time, we're going to send it over to Kyle Mann for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's junior offensive lineman James Daniels announced this morning that he'd join Josh Jackson in leaving school a year early to enter the NFL draft. Daniels checks in at 6'4" and 295 pounds at only 20 years old, and with great athleticism for an interior lineman, Mel Kiper Jr. has him as the third best draft eligible center. The Iowa men lost to Ohio State last night to fall to 9-7 and 0-4 in the Big Ten, and by a final score of 92-81, the Hawkeyes allowed the Buckeyes to shoot over 50% from the floor over the course of the game, which falls in line with some of the team's struggles so far this season. They're yielding a Big Ten worst 74 points per game and allowing the 10th worst field goal percentage at 42.9%, and also find themselves 13th in the 14-team league in turnover margin. Carver Hawkeye Arena is going to need some excitement from somewhere, and it's going to have plenty tonight as the Iowa wrestling team hosts Michigan State beginning at 7 o'clock. There's a buzz around the program as the Hawkeyes are going to be taking the red shirt off of true freshman and top overall recruit from a year ago, 125-pounder Spencer Lee. Keeping an eye on the Hawkeyes in the pros, former Hawkeye defensive back Micah Hyde was named a second-team All-Pro selection today. In his first year with the Bills, he finished with a career-high 82 tackles and tied for third in the league with 5 interceptions. Tonight after the show, we're stocked with high school basketball. Beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Kennedy boys at Linmar on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have the girls from Central DeWitt traveling to Clear Creek Amana, also at 7:30 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
That's just about going to do it. Rob, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Full 3 hours, no weather delays, no meteorology today.
No, and the weather's a lot nicer this week driving back down south on 380 than it was last week. It was a little dicey.
We'll talk to you on Monday. We're going to preview the college football playoff national championship game as Alabama will take on Georgia. And there might be a new guest that we might be premiering weekly next week or the week after. I'm going to tease that a little bit and more to come on that front. Thank you to Megan Gustafson, Lee Sterling, and Josh Jackson for joining us this afternoon. For Kyle Mann, for Rob Howe, this is Alex Kuhn signing off from Studio A on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids.